My guest is Goleta Water District Water Supply and Conservation Manager Ryan Drake. And he, during the break, told me a quote from Mark Twain. What's that quote?
That's whiskey's for drinking, water's for fighting.
I love that quote. I know I must have heard it. And you know what W.C. Fields said?
What's that?
I don't drink the water, the fish swim in it. So he was.
Oh, that's right.
He was basically drinking the whiskey. Whiskey's for drinking and water, say it again? For fighting.
For fighting.
So quickly, we had mentioned that the district does recycling water. It's not potable water. And you're supplying golf courses. And who else would use that?
It's also used for some internal toilet flushing and mainly irrigation at UCSB, for example. They're on almost 90% of their irrigation is recycled water. So they're a great water saver in that sense.
And the irrigation has to be, like, closed, so to speak. You can't be
That's
spraying
right. It needs to be
the
controlled,
water.
And you need to avoid direct human contact.
And is that true with individuals if you want to do some gray water, maybe from your... not your kitchen sink, that's black water, but maybe from your laundry? Do you have to...
Yeah, we really promote gray water. There's a very ministerial permit for gray water systems from both the city and the county, so it's very easy to do, and we actually offer a rebate for that as well. So we do encourage gray water systems from our customers, and it's perfectly safe.
So this recycled thing, is there anything anywhere exists where recycled water becomes potable water?
Yes. What you're really talking about is two things, what's called indirect potable use or direct potable reuse. And the difference is indirect is you treat the recycled water to a potable level, and then you inject it into a groundwater basin and then take it out. Whereas direct potable reuse is, you know, directly treating that water and then putting it into your distribution system and serving it to your customers after some storage time. Now, indirect potable reuse has been done a long time. It's been going on in Orange County since the 1960s, and that water has served Orange County Water District. And it's something that we've studied and looked at. We did a study in 2017 to look at the feasibility of it, and we determined it was feasible. It was a question of cost and when we needed the water. Now, direct potable reuse, however, is a lot more controversial. They are doing some pilot projects in San Diego and Ventura, but the state has really put the kibosh on those permits and wants everyone to slow down and look at study that issue a little more. So those are a lot farther off, but in terms of treating it and injecting it and then producing that out of groundwater wells, that's something that is definitely near-term across the state.
And is that because... I mean, just as a layman's perspective, when the water goes into the soil, is there kind of a more of an additional organic purification
yes.
process?
That's exactly right. The natural process of letting it settle and the basin filtering that water is deemed safer.
And if someone wants to find out about how to create gray water at home, what would they do?
Well, we have a link on our website under our conservation section for groundwater, so you can go to goletawater.com, and we have an info page and some additional links to materials on how to set up a gray water site at your home.
Okay. When I do the podcast, I'll give a link to goletawater.com. Hopefully, I can find that link for the gray water and include that separately, or maybe if you could email it to me, that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Thank you. Guest is Goleta Water District Water Supply and Conservation Manager Ryan Drake. There have been some developments that are seemingly been approved of late, and some that are kind of seem to be in the pipeline. And I'm reading a lot of people saying, what's going on? We don't have enough water for the people that are here. And yet, and electricity is another issue, but the water issue, and I interviewed he's not a developer, but he represents developers, a permit planner, expediter, and he was saying how today's building is much more efficient in the drought. It's much more efficient. But still, it's more people mean more water use. So you had mentioned to me that sometimes the districts, maybe yours and others, don't have a choice. to issue can and will letters. Why is that?
Yeah, that's right. So, and I should mention, in addition to my role as a water supply manager, in a prior career, I was a water lawyer. So I'm well-versed in water entitlements for properties. But under our code and under our method of operating, there's really three ways that someone could get an ability to serve water while we're in a moratorium. There's number one, if you have an existing service and what you're proposing is going to use the same water that you historically used or less, our code allows for that development to continue because there's no net increase from the existing water use. So a lot of projects are occurring with that, where it's effectively a redevelopment project where they'll actually use less water often on the parcel than they're using currently. The second way you could get an entitlement is under what's called the right judgment, which determined all the groundwater rights to our area. And under that, there's some special provisions that said, in exchange for properties giving their groundwater rights to the water district has to agree to serve those parcels in the future. So that's another thing where we don't really have any discretion to, because they gave up something of benefit in the past. And then finally, there's a variety of special agreements, mainly from the 1980s, where a private water company transferred their facilities to us in exchange for us agreeing to serve their properties in the future. So any water supply project that's coming online here has already been accounted for and planned for in our demand by us well in the past. And they're all really exceptions to our current moratorium. So if there's any parcel that would create a net increase in water supply demand to us, they are going to be subject to the moratorium and will not be able to get service under our safe water supplies ordinance.
Gotcha. So the water districts in general, not just you, you have obligations that could have been created 40 years ago based on agreements, groundwater rights and special agreements. And hopefully you're saying by issuing those water meters, though, you're showing that you might not have a net increase of water based on historical,
right?
Always?
Yeah. It's really a concept of, once someone has an entitlement to water service, we're legally prohibited from not honoring that. So we recognize that and plan for what we're obligated to do. And really don't have discretion to not serve those properties if they have an entitlement.
Very interesting. And you know, Ryan, now I know why I really like you. You're an attorney. I'm not kidding. I love attorneys. I should have gone to law school. It's not too late. You really had a great handle on things. I had more questions. I wanted to talk about swimming pools. I heard that, you can drain a pool and take the water and kind of clean it and put it back in. But I had a few more questions, but we're out of time. And we covered a lot. Goleta Water District Water Supply and Conservation Manager Ryan Drake, Goleta Water District. Thank you so much for your time. And we'll leave the water on for you. No, let's leave the light on for you. That doesn't make sense. Ryan.
Thank you, Mark. I really appreciate it. And, I want to say this is a community that's very engaged and educated on water supply issues, and we always appreciate that. So appreciate the opportunity to come on.
Oh, let's do it again. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, take care.
Bye. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. That was Goleta Water District, Ryan Drake, Water Supply and Conservation Manager. Stay tuned for the weekly Multiple Listing Sales Update.